What's going on, everybody? We are the Let's Talk Divots podcast, a podcast dedicated to women's professional golf and the LPGA Tour and everything relevant in the women's game. I'm your host, Casey Johnson, a 13-year PGA of Canada member who now walks inside the ropes on the LPGA Tour as a caddy. I am joined by my good friend, Captain Ron Dunn. Also has his caddy badge, does a super stroke representation, putting arc, luggage transportation, and often works the boom mic, jack of all trades, master nothing. We are here to promote the game of golf, not just the women's game, but the game in general, and we just want you to continue to help us on our mission. We're super appreciative of what you've been doing thus far, helping us climb the ratings, and like, share, comment, all that housekeeping stuff, and we really, really, really appreciate it. It's a global game, and we are just thrilled to have a global audience. We are at Let's Talk Divots on all social media platforms. And if you're just enjoying the content, enjoying the show, please share it with our friend. It's the best way for us to grow, climb the ratings, and just continue to get our name out there and get women's golf out there, because these ladies are out there doing awesome things. We are Ronald. What's going on, brother?
Hey, Casey. Welcome, welcome. Doing good here on a good Sunday fun day. Very relaxing weekend we had this weekend here at Reynolds Lake Oconee.
I'm finding out I haven't missed a cut all year. Sundays are very relaxing when you miss the cut.
Yes, yes, they sure are. You get to sit back and watch a little football in the morning, get ready for some golf in the afternoon, just like we did here at the beautiful Georgia Pacific campgrounds here.
And yeah, man, Lake Oconee, where we are in Georgia. I'd never been to Georgia before. Checked off a new state on my list, and what a phenomenal place! I mean, we touched briefly on it. I know we played one of the golf courses on the grounds in last week's episode, the National. Well, there's six courses on property here, and this place does not disappoint. It is a vacation holiday dream.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Get this little Drive-On Championship Tournament brought here. Michael Wan actually has a place here. He took his boat across Lake Oconee into work a couple days. A
lot of retirees here. I actually heard a comment. It should be named Viagra Lake. But maybe Mike Wan's not in that category yet. But yeah, very, very prestigious. I think the demographic, the tax bracket might be a little higher than you and I.
Oh, yeah, much higher, much higher. But a little bit about Reynolds Lake Oconee here. It's on 12,000 acres, 374 miles of shoreline. That's a lot of lake.
Shoreline made by a dam.
Yeah, so, they dammed it up in 1979, and Jack Nicklaus came around in 1992 and designed this course, and they just had a redo. About 6 months ago, a year ago, it was closed for a year, but it's beautiful. 6,000 properties around here, a lot of homes, beautiful three-story, all vacation homes, just beautiful. Six courses. This is like the second most popular course in Georgia.
Number two ranked golf course in Georgia behind
Augusta National.
Yeah, so really cool and super cool venue. Just to host a tournament. Obviously, the Drive-On Championship was, they threw this tournament together in 60 days to try to give the ladies another venue to play. And, you know, it's not normally on the calendar, but hopefully with the exposure it's gotten, maybe it can draw a sponsor here, because this is just an incredible place to be able to hang our hat for a week.
Yeah, it's definitely, definitely beautiful. Great Waters is the name of this golf course that they played, the second ranked in Georgia. But yeah, beautiful place out here. Jack Nicklaus design, like I said, 6,400 yards, I think it was, 6,600 yards.
Played long, man.
Zoja, yeah, almost Zoja.
And yeah, it hosted the big break in 2014 there as well. So yeah, some notable stuff going on. And because of all the, you know, the outlines of the houses, just it was a really cool atmosphere this week. There was for the first time, a ton of fans out there, because people who were homeowners were allowed to be on property. I mean, obviously their houses all borderline it, and there's like a path walking around the whole facility, and obviously the lake, and people were out there on their boats. People were setting up, you know, chairs, having cocktails, honking, and it was just, you know, it was awesome.
A party. It was a party atmosphere here. Definitely didn't feel like a golf tournament, but a golf tournament did break out, and we did have a good 72 hole event.
Man, and what a golf tournament. What a golf course. What a tournament. I don't know. Where should we start?
How about day one? Only four players were bogey free. One of our leaders was not. She was up there, though, 6 under par. We won't give the name out who the leader was. But yeah, day one, the scores went pretty low. Three girls at 7 under.
Well, yeah, and we had this talk after walking and doing the practice rounds. It's like, Whoa, this course is pretty tough. I don't know. I'm like, man, somebody, there's a few of these girls, they're always going to light it up, you know, but there's going to be a big dispersion. And there was, the cut was plus three. But like, yeah, like you said, there was only four rounds day one that were bogey free. And that's, I mean, it's just one of those golf courses where you're going to make a lot of mistakes, but you're going to have a lot of opportunities with birdies. And you saw that. I mean, you know, we'll get into more of the list of where players were, but Arya Jatanagarn had, you know, she contended this week and she had four double bogeys. I seen multiple scorecards with multiple blemishes in that regard. It's just one of those golf courses that very, very difficult to play mistake free.
Yeah, that was Arya's first top 10 in 12 months. So she was getting it done. But yeah, with four double bogeys, welcome to my world.
Right?
But it took her 72 holes. I usually do that in a round.
Yeah, so I don't know. Day two, I guess, you know, more of the same. I think it played a little bit easier because the
10 under was leading after day two.
Yeah, the cut was, you know, plus two after day one, but it eventually just dropped to plus three very last minute there. But, you know, it was a long walk. It's one of those cart mandatory golf courses, and that was a bit of a, we played 5.5 hours, and this is now we're running into trouble with the daylight because there is only 107 competitors this week, and we teed off last. You know, if you're listening to the pod, I actually picked up a bag this week for the week, missed the cut, but we teed off last. We ended up finishing in the dark, so 5.5 hours out there, really long walks. I bet it was, you know, 6-7 miles out there for the caddies.
Yeah, Friday you rolled in off the 18th. I actually played the 9th coming in for your final back nine. It was about 6:30. It was just getting dark. Shadows were already gone. Sun was well behind the clouds and behind the mountains. It was beautiful, though, coming up to it.
Yeah. Awesome venue, though, and yeah, we cut into the weekend, and it just made for some really good golf. There's some good players in the mix.
Usual suspects up there, Daniel Kang. Here's a new one, the girl that you picked last week, Bianca.
Yeah, I mean, she's going to get a lot of airtime. If you've watched any of the women's game or followed it at all in the last couple of weeks, you've been hearing me talk a lot about this young lady, 22 years old from the Philippines. Just she's only played 5 events this year. She was resting
top 10 KPMG
due to COVID, and you know, she came off a top 10. And why I've been raving so much is because I played with her for 2 days, and I came back on Monday at KPMG. I said, this Ron can vouch for this. I said, this girl's gonna contend this week. She did. And again, she was one of my picks this week, and I just think she's going to contend every week. She's just my new favorite. Like, she's my new wow factor out there. I mean, she's just so young. We watched her all weekend on the golf course, and she was, you know, very mature out there. Had some great poise. You know, didn't get the job done, but I mean,
she did very well.
Hung right in there for a solo third.
Well, so. I'd say that's pretty much getting the job done. Maybe it's not a W, but still, she had 16
pars.
Not
getting the job done, though.
You come out to win. You come out to.
You come out to win, but she'll be there many more times, and
definitely
continue to watch out for this kid. She's launching off the ground. She's all over the LPGA. I mean, I'm just ahead of the curve here on my calls. Okay, LPGA, try to keep up a little bit, but just launching off the ground. JT-esque, her left foot's fully off, and any young ladies out there wanting to learn how to hit the golf ball a long way, which is where it's going, and use your pound for pound off the what we call using the force of the ground, your ground force, and it's just launching. Brooke does the same thing really well, but you go slow down this young woman's swing. I mean, she can't weigh more than a buck 20.
Yeah, and Bianca led the tour this week in long drives. I think it was 290. She had a few out there, 300 yards. I mean, she was coming into that 18th hole here with a 6-iron from 171. She blew it over the green.
That was today. Yesterday, she hit an 8-iron into that green. I mean, it was real. We had 1.2 inches of rain last night, overnight, so the course was soft. They played lift clean in place. But yesterday, that Bianca had an 8-iron in 156 yards. And you're looking at, like, some of these gals going for, like, nobody hits an iron into that even. Like, they're all coming in with you know, fairway woods or hybrids. So
yeah, finishing solo third, that's a good paycheck for her. And man, 16 for 16 in pars, and then she birdied 17 and 18 to come home to cash that check.
But not only so, like, yeah, this I'm not ready to get off this topic yet. Like, this young girl is young woman is
going to
be so good in major championship golf, right? Like, I mean, sometimes these golf courses, the shorter ones, it's tough to cut the corners, or those bunkers are, you know, positioned pretty well. But all the major courses are 6,800 yards, which is, you know, 400 to 600 yards longer than a traditional course that they play on a regular event. And she's just going to go. I'm thinking like A&A. I was thinking of the PGA Championship last week. The U.S. Open's coming up. I mean, it's going to be a little firm and faster, so she'll have to have her short game. But the just the length is just going to be, you know, next level advantage.
Big advantage.
So. Yeah. Obviously, a very big fan of Bianca Pegdangnanan. I'll probably butcher that a few more times, but I will end up getting it right eventually.
She had a young caddy in her bag. Young guy from, he came out of the caddy program. What's it called?
I don't know, man.
Oh, that caddy program. You have to, you know, it'll come to you. But he's been working.
Caddyshack?
No.
Rodney's Dangerfield School of Caddy?
That's very famous, man. Two guys came up with it a long time ago. Evan Scholar Fund.
Okay.
He's a graduate from the Evan Scholar Fund. He's caddied at Augusta for the last year, so he's learning how to do it, but he's already cashing checks. He wants to be out here for a while, he said. Brandon was his name.
Yep. Played with him a couple times in practice, and pretty quiet, calm, and really, really nice kid. I'm sure he's, like you said, he's only got as many events out there as his player does. So, I'm sure he'll be a name in the caddy circle as long as he's with Bianca. He certainly started off on a good bag.
Well, good too for those two. How about let's go to second place before we jump into who won this event?
Well, let's just get right into the combat. Sure. I mean, because it was such a battle out there. I mean, it was a three-way battle. Obviously, Allie took the trophy, okay? Maybe not
Allie. Allie McDonald.
I mean, this is coming out after the event, so everybody on social media, congratulations to Allie McDonald and Camperdam, because it's a really popular one. She's such a nice young person, and, she's been...
Their first victory together at 86 start. I don't know if they've always been together, but Camper got it done today, and it was great to see Allie's parents were here. This was her 28th birthday today, Sunday.
Yeah, and Camper's been with her definitely since last year sometime. And
we're at the Solheim Cup together.
She's so solid, and she's just such a nice, she carries herself really well. I think this is her fifth year on tour. She's just her whole game solid. She's in the mix a lot. She's never finished better than third place, I don't believe.
Third place twice.
But like I've been keep just because of Camper, I'm always like, you know, we played with her. We were in kind of contention the Saturday in Australia back in January, and we played with her, and her whole game is it's not like anything wows you, but it's so consistent. Like she's just like better than everybody else, better than average at everything. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like she's an amazing putter, but not a good driver of the ball. Everything's just like rock solid. So she's going to spend a lot more time there, especially with confidence of coming out with a win. So just an awesome, popular win, I think.
Yeah, great to see it done. First time any male or female from Mississippi State won a PGA Tour event or LPGA. So congratulations, Mississippi State, of getting it done. We'll go to Allie McDonald and Camper Dan on the bag.
But it was a battle, man. We watched the coverage there, and Allie was kind of head to head with, you know, it was weird because making the turn. And here's the thing. I think Allie made 5 birdies on the back 9. Like she went unconscious, birdied 10, 11, 12. And she had a 4-shot lead at one point. Looked like Danielle was maybe kind of having the wheels fall off a little bit. She started to get a little bit Danielle Kang-esque there with some emotions, but she friggin' clawed her way back as Danielle Kang does. And
well, there was a 2-shot swing there.
What was that? 15.
13.
15.
15.
Trust me, I know the golf course, but I walked it several times. Danielle actually hit a pretty good shot as this tabletop green. Ron's fact checking me right now, but I know I'm right. It's 15. Kang bogeyed it, and it's not an easy birdie. It's absolutely very, very difficult to get it close, and it was a 2-shot swing there. So
no, Allie birdied 10, 11, and 12. Bogeyed 13. That's when Danielle birdied 13. Two shot swing right there. 15. That's the par 4. Allie parred that.
That's the one, Danielle. But where it rolled off the top, though, the back.
Oh, yeah,
over
she had a great shot. Great That's second shot. It can't head. Be a great shot if it rolls off the back of the green. She chips up and misses that little 3-footer.
But yeah, it got really close. And then hole 16, which let's just pull on from the day before, round 3. When it was still a battle between those two, they've kind of been battling for 36 straight holes, and Kang put 1 OB Not really in play, to be honest with you. She was, I guess, maybe trying to take it up the right side to gain a little bit of an angle. And, just, you know, pretty costly mistake. But, she clawed back all the way through round four, and just love watching. You know, sport's so good when it's just close, you know, and you're watching the emotions. But Allie just hung in there, held herself so good on 16. She, threw a dart in there. It landed like right next to the flag stick. I'm not sure if she birdied that one. I can't actually remember. But
let's just go play by play on 18, though. You know, that was pretty dramatic. Danielle's second shot, just a little out of the fairway.
Yeah, she was in the rough, and the lie wasn't. She wanted to go for it. We were watching the coverage. Ollie Brett kind of, he put the head cover back on twice. She was, what's the best opportunity to make eagle there? I just don't think the lie was good enough to rip at it. So they ended up laying up. 215
over water. No.
Yeah, ended up laying up. And
to a good yardage, 70 yardage, that's what you kind of wanted.
Yeah, you can hold that stuff out. It's possible, right? And Allie just laid up perfectly from the fairway to a nice comfortable distance, ended up being 90 yards to the pin. Meanwhile, Bianca's up there in no man's land,
on two over the green.
Yeah. So it hits that six iron in there. Could have been a seven for sure, but, in that position, tough. And then
Danielle almost holds it for the eagle.
Absolutely almost holds it. It was pretty cool to see. Just lands it just by the pin, sucks it right back, just left it half a ball outside the edge, unfortunately.
Very dramatic, and good for Danielle to keep it pedal to the metal down here.
But you know what? Just awesome poise from both players, and nobody gave it away.
No, all three of them played solid the whole day.
I mean, Allie was a 69 for the final round. Danielle was 68, and Bianca was 70. So everybody was subpar in that final group. I mean, that's just quality golf in order for Allie to hang on and get it done. And that's obviously why you want a cushion, especially when you got a veteran like Danielle, four-time winner on tour, nipping at your heels, and she's a bulldog out there. So just a really, really good job. Hats off for Allie getting it done.
Yeah, let's not forget Danielle had a birthday as well. She turned 28 on Tuesday. Like I said earlier, Allie 28 today. Her family was on cap, so that was awesome to see him lifting the trophy out there in 18. But great, great week here at Reynolds Lake Oconee.
Yeah, and rounding out the top 10 there, we had Bianca solo third. Mina Harajé was
her best finish ever in her career.
She was T4. Was that her best finish?
Best finish, yeah. She had T5 one time before this.
Yeah, good for her. And you know what? Carlotta Segonda obviously making noise. Another top four, another T4 top five. Thought she was going to do a little bit more today, but I guess she was a bit far back. She still shot 3 under 69. And, it's just sometimes, not sometimes, tough to go in there and post a 65 final round. But, again, I got to play with her at KPMG, and I'm just shocked that she's only won twice. Her ball's got another sound. I mean, Bianca hits it so far, but Carlotta's just strong. Like, she's got much more of a downward angle of attack, hits a big fade, and it's just like, this just like pop off the club face. So Arya Jatanagarn, like we kind of mentioned, breezed over her there. She was actually making a really, really early charge. I think she was like 5 under through 7 at one point for a round. Let's take a look at her scorecard here. She was 2, 3, 4, 5 under through 7 and then made a costly double bogey. There's one of her four double bogeys on hole 9, but she was charging right up the leaderboard there. But haven't heard too much from her in 2020, but the former world number one in the player, you never know when that person's gonna find that magic that they had that previously. So T for 6 for her. Catherine Kirk, who's been having a really strong year, just keeps it going with a T for 6. Lots of TV time this week. And, what was both of one of our picks, I think, Matilda Castrin, coming off a strong Symetra Tour win last week. Keeping the strong play going with a final round 67 after stumbling a bit in round 3. And, gets just a nice paycheck this week with a tie for 8 for the rookie from Finland.
Yeah, she's playing very well these last few weeks, man. It's good to see her up there.
Lydia Ko, just getting her done on the weekend, pretty consistent. had our coach on site again here, I think, Sean Foley, and another tie for eight, just chalking up those top tens. We're waiting for her to knock on the door and capture another win for 2020. She's starting to run out of tournaments, but there's still definitely a few opportunities left, and she's just always seems to be in the mix, one of them usual suspects.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Now the girls are looking forward to a little vacation time, 3 weeks off before we head down to Bel Air, Florida for the Pelican tournament.
Rounding out the top 10 is Brittany Altamore. Great breakout 2019 season, but haven't heard her name a ton this year. So she's stoked to sneak her way into the top 10 and looking confident heading into the final stretch of the year.
Four more tournaments left.
That's it, eh?
Yeah, that's it. One's a big one, too, the U.S. Open.
Yeah, well, and the CME, but not CME. Everybody's going to be in the CME. I mean, there's still one more major of the year. We have a three-week break, and, yeah, we're off to Florida, Tampa.
Yep, I'm looking forward to that little more sunshine down here. Hopefully the humidity's down. I've never been to the East Coast this time of year before.
Yeah, it's going to – I mean, the weather down here has been so cherry. We got 3 weeks off. You're going on a little road trip. I'm going on a little – adventure myself, looking forward to some time off, and then yeah, just for most people it's going to be a couple of events back. You have to have some pretty good status to get in them. There's only 90 some odd players. I don't have the exact number, but maybe less players than there was this week, I think. Is that
yes,
confirm, you can confirm that, Ron?
I would say yes, that is 107 teed it up this week, I think 90 something so far, but I don't think the final field's out yet for the Bel Air tournament.
So yeah, we got the Pelican and the VOA, and then
Volunteers of America down there in Colonial, Texas. That's always a good little flat track there, a lot of water around there as well,
and then into the U.S. Open and the CME. So season is seriously wrapping up.
Yes it is. We'll be there, and we'll go from Dallas to where is the U.S. Open? Houston, Texas.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be making the rounds there. We'll see. It's too early to tell, but that's 5 weeks out. We'll see.
Yeah, and a few coronavirus casualties this week, and now I'm just thinking about the 3 weeks off coming into Tampa. I mean, there could be, like, so we've been on the road pretty viciously since June when the last drive-on started. There's never been more than a week off as far as tournament play is, so the players and caddies and personnel have all been in the bubble.
One a week usually we drop, but this week we get two caddies dropped.
Yeah, two people went down this week, and I'm just thinking with 3 weeks off, everybody's been so resilient. What do you think? Well, what's the over-under number for caddy cat, or not
four.
Even
four? I'm going four.
Caddies, players, casualties of the coronavirus. Shouldn't be anything we're joking around on, but no. it's gonna happen, and it's just
if you get it early in the first week, get sick for the second week, quarantine for the third, and you'll be back there at Tampa.
It's just statistics, you know. I guess people want to head out and have a cocktail or a dinner, and you know, hug their friends. I guess we're all kind of in the same boat, living in the bubble.
That's it. They're opening up the country a little bit more for the third wave of casualties to go down. But yeah, it's no joking matter. Keep your face, keep your distance, cover your face, and just be safe. Wash those hands.
Yeah, so there's going to be a new president in your country by the time we get back to Tampa as well. I'm going to just stay apolitical, but yeah, it should be. I'm going to flee the country till then, just in case you guys implode.
You might not be able to get back in, though.
You never know, you know, but I guess there could be worse places to be trapped.
You're going to go catch some surf, or where are you heading, north
or
south?
Yeah, I think I'm heading south, man. Still got a quarantine getting back to Canada, so hopefully Mexico welcomes me with open arms.
Follow the birds. They all fly south this time of year. It's a little warmer down there.
They do, and the pod's going to take a little bit of a break because the tour's on break, so we're going to be on a little bit of a break, but we do have a nice little interview coming at the folks next week, just a little bonus that people can catch up on, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. A good friend of mine, Jeff the Dreamer, out here, caddy long time, 30 years or so, man. But hey, how about this campground? There was a couple other caddies staying here. We got to go break some bread with them and put a little pitch our tent and have a little campfire there. Even Camper Dan was in the mix of the caddies there.
Yeah, good times. I like the Lake Oconee life, man. Just a little pot, a little meat on the barbie, a little fire up the briquettes, and
keeping our distance. Everyone was 6 feet away from the fire.
Oh, of course. A couple of soda pops.
That's it. Some barley pops.
And that's just the way, man. So what are you up to? You got 3 weeks. You're rolling in the rig. Where are you off to? Tell the people.
I'm gonna run. I'm gonna head up to South Carolina. I'm going by a buddy of mine, Ricky Strachey from high school. He married my first wife's sister. So Kay, shout out to Kay and Rick. We're going to go hang out there somewhere in South Carolina. I haven't been there. I'm going to do that for 5 days or so. And then I got a week off to just kind of cruise around. Then I'm going to head over to a friend's out in Savannah, Georgia, spend the week of my birthday and also the week of the Masters right there with my drinking buddies in Savannah, Georgia, where they say is really beautiful. So looking forward to that.
Week of the Masters in Savannah. How far is that from Augusta?
The other side of the state.
Okay, so you're not going to go try down to peer south over the fence again?
Nah, if I get called up being a caddy and all now, I might, you know, let you know. But
yeah,
no,
I'm sure your credentials are highly more wrong numbers than a roulette table. Ronnie Dunn, get over
here.
Hey,
I might get another loop here. There's a good possibility I might get my second round.
Yeah,
here.
What's happening with that? I think Tiff might have given you the call up and wants your services in Tampa.
Does. You're
batting 100% for cuts made. What's talk?
I'm going to keep it up that. There's no two ways about it. I'm not going. We're going to make the cut again. If
so
I get
doing
on that
it,
bag,
you're back on the bag.
If she gives me the green light and wants me and will accept my numbers, sure, I will definitely do it again. But I'm pretty much the end of this season. We might call it a career as caddying, but one never knows. I got a shout out to T-Mac. He gave me a little love this week and asked me if I was looping. I told him, no, I'm not this week. My golfer's gone to Hong Kong for a wedding.
That's brilliant, man. Well, I hope you're on the bag. I hope we got something to root for and some more table talk.
You too. I hope you're on the bag. I want to get in that same group as you come Sunday night.
Wouldn't that be any good?
Yeah, we'll bring our microphones on course. You'll get a live, up-to-date pod.
Oh, man, that'd be priceless. I love it. I hope that happens, man.
Well, enjoy your trip south of the border. Catch some waves, some tasty waves, man. Looking forward to hearing your stories and adventures when you get back.
Yeah, man, be safe. And, you know, super shout-out and thanks to all the fam listening to the pod. You know, on a regular basis, we've been coming at you. I think this might be this is week 29. Next will be 30 in a row. So, you know, it takes a lot of, you know, commitment from us to be firing up the equipment every week. And we were so stoked to just continue to bring this. We're having a blast doing
it. We broke into the top 100 of sports podcasts.
Yeah. So that's awesome. Keep sharing it.
You guys share it. We enjoy doing this, but we only do it for you guys. So if you're out there, we're going to continue to throw this Let's Talk Divots right at you.
Yeah, we are at Let's Talk Divots on all social media platforms. I know we're cruising into the end of the golf season, but we're going to come back fierce next year after, you know, we're still going to broadcast the final few tournaments, but we're going to come back and we want to crack into that top 50 and even into the top 30 next year in 2021. It's going to be a really, really big year on the LPGA Tour. In fact, next time we broadcast, we'll have a little bit of updates for you on schedule. There is a meeting on November 5th, and we're going to have probably some more direction on which way the tour is going to happen in 2021. But we already kind of know and have the heads up that it's going to be a very, very, very busy one. So looking forward to that.
Everybody be safe out there. Happy Halloween to everybody. We'll get back to you first part of November. Be safe. Cover your face.
Peace.